Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, let's go to the hotline, the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we turn to Anthony Castrovince, super friend of the show, on from MLB.com. How are you, Anthony? It's good to talk to you.
Hi, Anthony.
Boys, great to hear from you as always. I'm doing well.
All right, so let's talk about the Guardians. Excited? Where are we with this team right now? Because, you know, they weathered the storm of having a losing streak, came back and played very strong against the Twins, and continue to roll.
They do, and, you know, they can totally take advantage of this new postseason format in a couple different ways. The first is the lack of tiebreaker games. Because of the postseason expansion, there's no longer a game 163 in the event of a tie for a division or a wild card spot. It's just settled by math, and they only have to win one more game against the White Sox and one more game against the Twins to clinch the tiebreaker advantage over both those teams. So what that effectively would do is give them, you know, whatever the division lead is, you add a game to that, basically. So that's huge with only a few weeks remaining. So there's that, and then there's just also, you know, the format being what it is, where the worst division winner, which would obviously be the AL Central winner, you know, gets to host three home games against the worst wild card winner. And in this instance, you know, that division winner will in all likelihood have a worse record than that wild card team. So they could benefit from that. And then, you know, if you're able to take care of business at home in that best of three, you go on to play the Yankees, who have obviously famously not played as well in the second half. So next thing you know, you're in the ALCS, and who would have seen that coming?
Wait, double check. I'm just triple checking. You said that if you have the best record and the worst, you have home field advantage?
If you have the worst division winner,
right,
in each league, which in this case would be the AL Central for the American League, has the home field advantage against the worst
wild card
team.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
But that wild card team could have a better record than the AL Central will.
Right. So the advantage of winning the Central pays off there. That's okay.
Right.
I was just double checking on it. Okay.
Right.
The thing that's impressed me, Anthony, you know, you've kind of been waiting. I mean, not you, all of us kind of been waiting. All right. When they start to go south, are they going to stay there? And yet, a couple of times this year and quite recently after the five-game losing streak with the Orioles and the Mariners, you thought, all right, well, here it is, the beginning of the end. And instead they bounce right back and they've won 6 of 7 since then. That to me is not typical of what you'd expect from a young team in a situation like this. So how has that happened? How have they been able to kind of go with the flow and yet keep rising?
Yeah, I think with young teams, sometimes you can go, it's either extreme. Either you crumble under the weight of those situations you've never been in, or you don't know what you don't know, and you benefit from that. I think it's really been the latter with this team, where they just don't care. You know, they fall behind in a game, or they go through a losing stretch, and, you know, they're playing with house money in terms of external expectations. But even internally, I just think there's a really good mindset in that clubhouse. And I tell you what has impressed me the most. Well, I thought their undoing would be the schedule itself and the sheer number of makeup games, you know, makeup doubleheaders that they had in the middle of the season and going into the second half. And, you know, with a young team, I thought they would just wear down from attrition from that, from just so much baseball and losing off days and, you know, things of that nature. But, you know, here we are with 3 weeks left, and, you know, they look as good now as they have at any point in the season.
I mean, we all appreciate everything he's done, and we all think he's a great manager, but what is the value of Terry Francona right now, especially when you hear guys last night after getting tossed over what could have been a questionable call about whether it was hit or not, but what is the value of Terry Francona now until they say you're done playing baseball this year?
Yeah, I think his value is more in the big picture of just being invested. Like, for someone who has been the mountaintop in Major League Baseball and is in all likelihood a future Hall of Famer, to be invested in a young club like this is a pretty rare thing. You know, usually someone in his position would long or, you know, seek out to be in more of a clear contention scenario, you know, going into the year. But he's been fully invested in whatever is going on here, you know, whether that's a rebuild type situation or a clear contention type situation. He's been invested in and communicative and all the things you need a manager to be. And, you know, I think this year, you know, just his overall experience just carries added weight when there's not much experience on the roster itself.
Anthony Castrovince joining us, MLB.com. Big time columnist there. We knew him when he was just cubby.
Oh, sure.
Cubby, just young reporter.
Yeah, I talked to your boss the other day, Justice B. Hill. Talked to him.
Oh, yeah.
He's very proud of you, just so you know.
He should be very proud.
He should be.
Yes.
Yeah,
Connor Pilkington starts last night. Guardians get a win. Love the idea that, okay, you don't have Plesac, you don't have Savali, and yet you're still winning some games. And it does nothing but bode well, not just for the rest of this season, but beyond. I'm loving the fact that they're just kind of rising above everything that's going on.
Yeah, that's what I love about this season is, you know, it's that idea of wherever it goes from here, it was a hugely successful season. I mean, they could totally crumble and lose every game from now to the end of the year, and yet it was still a hugely successful season because you learned a lot about your internal options, and you gave this young body of players that first taste of contention and what it means to be in a race and just what that experience is like to play meaningful games in the month of September. You know, they've had that now, and that's huge just moving forward. And you think about where this franchise is situated when you look at payroll obligations and the depth of talent and what's still coming. You know, they got some arms in their system they're really excited about, and the industry is really excited about. So you pair all those things together, and it's like this is more the start of something, you know. You know, again, whatever happens, if they go on a crazy run, like I said, and somehow sneak their way in the ALCS, awesome. If they don't, no big deal. Nobody expected that anyway. So, you know, house money is a beautiful thing, and really getting to know your internal talent is an important thing, as we know, in a market like this. You have to know what you have, and then, you know, then go out and get what you need. So hopefully they do that. That's the next step, of course, to really turn this team into something is to go out, you know, and add to it externally and to make the right addition. But learning so much about, you know, it seems like every guy that's come up, maybe it doesn't stabilize and maybe it's just for a brief window, but they've all made some kind of meaningful contribution at some point, and that's important for their confidence moving forward, and it's important for the organizational confidence as well.
Following that up, Oscar Gonzalez has been enlightening to watch this year.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Manning made a comment last night in the telecast that he wasn't really on the radar. Left off the 40-man. Had they had a Rule 5, would he even be there? Who knows?
Right.
Rick was like, it's almost like this guy was in hiding. Well, he's been really good. Is he one of those guys who, okay, in this small window, he's been really good? Or do you think the Guardians and folks around baseball think he's a long-term deal, Anthony?
Well, I mean, I lean towards the latter just because that's what we've seen, right? And, you know, he's got strikeouts are under control for the most part. You know, you look at him and you expect, you know, huge home run power, but we've only started to see that here recently. But he's shown power in other ways. He's shown, you know, the ability. You look at his spray chart, as I did recently, and look at his doubles. They're all over the field, you know? So that's really cool. That's really great to see. He's even fleet of foot a little bit. So, yeah, that's that's exciting because I think we know quite well that a prevailing storyline for what feels like our entire lifetime has been, you know, the difficulty of solidifying the outfield on this club and solidifying it internally or externally or however it needs to be done. But this year, you know, Gonzalez has been really good. It's a smaller sample, but he's been really good in 250 plate appearances or so. And then you got Steven Kwan, who's been just fantastic and made adjustments as the year has gone along and really looks like just a high energy, great defense, you know, high contact player, which is awesome. So to start to have those building blocks is really important.
Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Okay, this kind of went under the radar because it was such a big football weekend, but the rule changes went through for next season. I just want to hear your thoughts on the pitch clock, the two pickoffs or step-offs per plate appearance, no defensive shift, and bigger bases. Let's start with pitch clock. Your thoughts on that?
Pitch clock, I am Mr. Pitch Clock. I am the most enthusiastic supporter of this, and I think it's the most fan-friendly thing MLB has done in a long time. I think people are going to absolutely love it. Any qualms about the game with no clock, now having a clock. Well, first of all, we've had a clock for like 7 years on pitching changes and between innings, so this is kind of an extension of that. And you know, the game ending is still not determined by a clock, so the heart of that idea is still there. But the pitch clock is really more about going backwards than going forwards. It's about returning the game to a rhythm it once had and really lost as generations of players adjusted their batting gloves and strolled around the mound and strolled around the batter's box and watched major leaguers do that. And it's just self-perpetuating problem that gets worse and worse. So it really, it's the same amount of baseball with just a better rhythm and tempo, you know? So I think people are going to love that. And the pickoff limits have to be paired with that, because otherwise the pitch clock has no meat to it. When they experimented with it in like 2016, 2017, double A and triple A, pitchers would just step off the mound and reset the clock. So, thwarted it that way. So you got to have the pickoff limits, and that could lead to more stolen bases, which is a play that's really, gone away in baseball and could come roaring back. So that's exciting as well.
Yeah, but
that
two pickoff rule is just kind of like, okay, you throw two pickoffs, so you might as well hand the runner the next base, right?
Like, not necessarily. It's still a head game. I've talked to base runners about that. There's still a head game going on there. But, yeah, I mean, once you throw over twice, you know they can still throw over that third time, but they have to get you
out.
Otherwise, you're automatically advancing to the next base. So,
gotcha.
So it is. It's kind of a cat and mouse game. It just shortens that cat and mouse game, basically.
Gotcha.
But actually, there's only it's less than 2% of plate appearances where there's even more than two pickoff attempts anyway.
Hmm.
So we're talking about a very small change in terms of that, probably, less than people realize. So, I think it's all good, man. I've watched it a few times this year at the minor league level, and the game just moves so well. You don't even notice the clock's there. You just notice that the game just has a really nice rhythm to it.
Gotcha. All right, I cut you off before you were talking about the shift. I think that's right.
Yeah, so the shift, I'm just reserving judgment. I don't know that that's going to have as big of an impact as people might think, because you could still do some interesting things. I mean, you could still shade an outfielder, to the hitter's pull side, to the shallow outfield grass. You're giving up, one corner of the outfield. But I think teams, the data being what it is and certain hitters being what they are, I think some teams will still take that trade. But it basically amounts to you can't have four outfielders. You can have five infielders. You can't bring an outfielder to the infield. So there's still dramatic things you could do in terms of shifting. And you could still have your shortstop and second baseman very close to the bag and rob those hits up the middle, depending on, what the data is telling you. But it's more about just trying to get back to what baseball used to look like, where you had four infielders in the infield. What a concept. And trying to get back to some kind of normal rate of balls in play going for hits in the way they traditionally once did. So I don't know. I think that one's going to take a while to really understand, how it's impacted the game and what are the unforeseen consequences and things of that nature. And then you have the bigger bases, which is really a nothing burger. It's the bases are a little bit bigger. That's really it. It's a safety thing where, particularly at first base, where, the runner's charging down the line and he can't go outside the lane, but, the first baseman has to have his foot on the bag, so you didn't get tripped up a lot, and that's dangerous. So it's just given a little extra room there. And on plays at second and third as well. You know, could it impact stolen bases? Maybe. In the one last year when they did the bases just at AAA, it wasn't a huge amount. It was like 0.1 more attempts per game, and the success rate was like 2% higher. So it could help a little bit on the stolen base front, but not as much as the pickoff limits will.
All right, Anthony, thank you. We read you all the time, MLB.com, and we always appreciate your time. Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you, bud.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you soon. Yep.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.